We know the field is set. You know we love our first-time guests. She is an Auburn grad, class of 2013. She's working with ESPN. She's the co-host, along with the legendary Auburn quarterback, Jason Campbell, of the Believe in Everything Auburn on the Believe Network. You could follow along on Twitter. Use the handle at Taylor Beth Davis. Taylor Davis, great having you. How's life treating you these days?
You know, can't complain. That was one efficient intro as well. So I appreciate you having me on. Any chance I get to talk about college football, you know, can't pass that up.
And, of course, I had to have Taylor introducing Taylor. So I hope you see what I did there.
Absolutely.
Classic case of you can teach an old dog new tricks. So I did some math, and since you arrived as a student in 2010, the Tigers won a national championship against Oregon, a Heisman, Cam Newton. They played for a national championship. In basketball, they made their first ever Final Four 5 years ago. Is there some kind of an effort to replace maybe Aubie the Tiger with you, who are obviously their good luck charm?
You know what? I hadn't thought about it until now, but I should certainly suggest that. I think there's something to it. I always say that I bookended my college career really well. My freshman year was a natty, a Heisman winner, all of that history. And then my senior year were some of the most magical plays in all of sports, not just Auburn, the kick six, the deflection in the Georgia game. So freshman and senior year were fantastic. We don't really talk about sophomore and junior year. Those seasons aren't as special. But, you know, it's how you end it. And it was pretty special, hard to top for sure.
You know, you kind of just hit on it. So you're a student. You're at Jordan-Hare. It's 10 years ago. Season one under Gus Malzahn. You overcame the early loss at LSU. Everybody knows where we're going. It's the Iron Bowl. There's a second left. Alabama's Adam Griffin's lining up for a 57-yarder. I got to know. You're sitting in the student section. Taylor, what's the story you're going to be telling the rest of your life?
It's absolutely the story I have told any chance that I get. What's funny is it was my last game in Jordan-Hare as a student, and I had been working as a student reporter over the course of the season, getting ready for what I hoped would be a career in this industry. And I requested a media credential that day, even though I wasn't going to work. But that credential allowed me to get into the stadium early that day. So I went in and saved some seats for my friends and I in the front row of the end zone for our last game in Jordan-Hare as a student. And little did we know the history we were about to witness. So I kind of went against the grain a little bit, but it is a decision that I fully stand by because we were front row in the end zone in the student section when Chris Davis caught that kick and took off for the touchdown, and then we were the first ones onto the field for the field storm, and to this day, it's one of the best memories of my entire life. I really don't know how I will ever top it, although I do think that my blood pressure has been substantially messed up ever since.
So was Davis running towards you or away from you on the kick?
He was running away. The end zone that he caught the kick in, that's where Auburn's student section is.
All right. I will eternally look for you when they show that shot.
I've been there.
Talking with Taylor Davis, Believe in Everything Auburn podcast. We'll get to the irony of Jason Campbell, Auburn 2004, in relationship to what happened. So this past Sunday, they're about to reveal the playoff four. I'm curious, who did you think the committee would select, and what was your reaction at who they selected?
I love that question. I really thought they were going to pick Florida State. I said the day before, when everything transpired the way it did, I actually was covering the SEC championship, and I certainly understood the levity of the situation with Alabama pulling off probably the biggest win that anyone in college football has had in 2 years. And so what do you do with that as a committee? But with everything that they have stood for and the way in which they have done the rankings all season, I really thought they were going to take the path of least resistance. I thought it was just going to be cut and dry. We all understood that Florida State probably isn't the same caliber of team. I would honestly argue that both Alabama and Georgia are two of the best four in the country. But given the way that the qualifications stand right now and only having four spots, I fully expected they were going to put the Noles in based on the principles that they were relying on all season. So when I saw the reveal, I was standing in the airport. I had just gotten back from Atlanta. My jaw was on the floor. I truly did not expect they were going to do it. Just given, you know, everything that they have stood by since the committee has been introduced. But it seems like every year they're prioritizing different things a little bit. And this year it was very obviously about wins and losses. So for that to, in a way, seem to be deviated in the 11th hour really caught me by surprise. Do I agree with it? I do. I think that Alabama is a much better team than Florida State. I hate that it has so much to do with the injury of a player. But even apart from that, I think Alabama beating Georgia, when the committee showed how highly they viewed Georgia by having them as one or two all season, I just thought that was, you know, kind of evident, and I understood the argument. So I do agree with the decision, but I was very surprised given what we've seen from the committee thus far. I thought an undefeated ACC champ was going to be where they leaned.
Man, that makes a lot of sense. It's no less frustrating, and I'm sure the FSU fans would take no solace, but it makes sense. So
I know.
Taylor, it's been 26 years since the birth of the BCS. One team has been a Power 5 champ, been unbeaten prior to Sunday and got left out. I don't have to tell you. It's the Auburn team, the magical backfield of Jason and Cadillac Williams, Ronnie Brown. And then, of course, we can't lose the irony of who beat Auburn in 2013. With all that taken in from yourself, your colleagues, your alum, is there a level of empathy from Auburn for FSU? Because let's face it, nobody else knows how bad they're hurting.
100%. And I am so lucky to not only call Jason Campbell my co-host, but a very good friend of mine now, and I can't say enough good things about him. He is fantastic. But I don't think that man goes a day without reminding everyone that that team got gypped. So as soon as that announcement happened, he, of course, is tweeting, you know, an old magazine cover from that team saying, if anyone knows how they feel, it's us. And that team was completely healthy. So they didn't even have that going against them like this Florida State team does. So there is absolute empathy and understanding for how that feels when you feel like you've done everything that was asked of you. You won every game that you were out there in, whether you were picked to win or you were the underdog, no matter what adversity you faced over the season, which is going to include, you know, some of your best guys having to miss a game or, heck, even a quarter. That certainly is going to happen over the course of a season, and you find a way to win. It doesn't always look pretty. I mean, look, Alabama needed a miracle to get out of Jordan-Hare with a win this season. So you do understand over the course of season, it's not always going to be convincing, but the best teams find a way to win. And Florida State certainly felt like they had done that this season. And yes, that team, and believe me, we all feel the exact same way. That team got absolutely gypped. That is one of the most iconic teams in college football history. Jason, Cadillac, and Ronnie were the first backfield from the same team to all get drafted in the first round in the same year in the history of the NFL. That team will go down in history in Auburn, in SEC, in college football. So the fact that they didn't even get the chance to vie for a national title never sits well with any of them. And so there is definitely a level of, we understand the committee's decision, and a lot of us probably agree with it, but if you get into the argument of who deserved to be there, you have to say that the Seminoles deserved it because they did everything asked of them.
By the way, Taylor just alluded to it. For folks, you can go to Jason's Twitter account, and you could see almost the second from December 3rd, he tweets out a picture of the commemorative issue of Sports Illustrated, and he goes, We're 13-0. I don't care what anybody says. We're national champs. So it's a beautiful thing. We're continuing with Taylor Davis, Believe in Everything Auburn on the Believe Network. By the way, Has anybody discussed the fact that if Auburn had pressured Jalen Milroe and the former Duck DJ James provided better coverage on Isaiah Bond, maybe FSU would have gone in? So is there any guilt as well?
You know, a little bit. But I think at the end of the day, all of us are still licking our wounds a little bit from that heartbreaking loss. Jordan Hare's a weird place, I got to tell you. I mean, it has brought both magical moments of success and also absolutely earth-shattering heartbreak. It does one or the other. And, the ultimate decision from the defense to drop the way they did and not put pressure on Jalen, and, I mean, might have been the best throw he had all year, just a drop in the bucket. But you go back a few plays or earlier in the game, there was also a muffed punt. Had that not happened,
oh, right,
we would have been able to run the clock. And that's so – there was a series of unfortunate events that led to that. But, yes, this Final Four would look a lot different had we just taken care of business with about a minute left. But, you know, that's college football. We love to hate it.
You know, you mentioned earlier how as a student you had the bookends. So, I mean, sitting here in Eugene on the Duck Station, I got to ask you about 2010. It was a rarity, you know, two unbeatens for the BCS title, Cam Newton, the Heisman winner, a Duck, LaMichael James, as a finalist. You mentioned that was your first year as a student. By the way, not a bad Iron Bowl, maybe the greatest one ever until 3 years later. So again, Taylor, when you hearken back 13 years, what are your memories of the magic of 2010?
Gosh, well, when you say 13 years, I have to stop myself because it feels like yesterday, which
right.
is baffling to me. But, man, it was just a whole new world, you know? I mean, getting introduced to college in general is so much change happening at one time. And then the Cam Newton of it all, that team was so special. You had guys like Philip Lutzenkirchen and just – they walked around. I remember seeing so many of them on campus, and they seemed larger than life. Really, Cam Newton is. He is a large human being, but there was just such a different air about that team, and it really went around. If you've been on campus at Auburn, it's a very homey feel. You can't drive on the inside campus, so everyone walks everywhere, and I just remember bopping around and being like, this place feels so different, and these guys had this air about them like they just knew they were going to pull off something special. And I didn't realize how spoiled I was as a freshman, and then the fall from grace my sophomore year was pretty humbling, I'm not gonna lie. But it was as magical as you would expect. The comeback, that Iron Bowl in Tuscaloosa when we got behind a good bit and had that huge comeback, it was a special year. And honestly, we all as Auburn fans learned pretty quickly, you don't count them out, and you stay until the clock hits zero. Anyone who leaves an Auburn game early, you end up being heartbroken.
I that was the first bowl game I ever attended down in Phoenix. And Auburn, the bus arrived, and as you said, there's you could probably attest to this. There's kind of an anonymity to football. If you sit in the stands, you don't realize the magnitude. And when I saw Nick Fairley get off the bus, now, for the record, I'm about 5'9", 140. I'm like, he's 2.5 of me. It just was. Oh, man, that's beautiful. So, couple final thoughts for Taylor Davis. So now that the field is set, we've got Washington from our part of the world, then the trio of blue bloods, Michigan, Texas, Bama. I'm not about predictions. I actually think it's wide open. So do you have a lean? Are you looking at this? Is there a favor? Or do you think, man, we might be in for a wild finish to the 14 playoff system?
Yeah, I can guarantee you it will be more interesting than last year's. Can I get an amen? Because I don't think a 60-point deficit is coming out of this national championship, regardless who we see play in it. I love these matchups, and I actually think both of these playoff games are going to look a little different. I think the Michigan-Alabama game is going to be more old-school, hard-nosed, battle in the trenches, maybe even a defensive game, and I could see Washington-Texas being more of a shootout. I still think that Texas defense is very stout, and I think it's probably going to challenge Washington and Michael Penix Jr. in a different way than they've been challenged thus far, but I wouldn't be surprised if that one ended up being more of an offensive battle, and Michigan Alabama is more defensive. So I think they're both super compelling matchups, and I really feel like it is kind of wide open. I mean, I know you said no predictions. I have this weird feeling that we're going to get an Alabama-Texas rematch for the national championship,
ooh.
But at this point, I really feel like it's who shows up with the right mentality that day. Like I told you when I was covering the SEC championship last weekend, it really felt like these are two of the best teams in the nation. But I'm not kidding. The energy was so clear that it was Alabama's game. Even though it was only a three-point win, it felt like it was a dominating game for Alabama. And it was a mentality, a maturation, an energy. Like, there was just a difference about them that really was palpable down on the sideline. And you've seen Michigan bring that at times this season. You've seen Washington bring that at times this season. So I really think it's going to be about who levels up when your name is called. But I think it's certainly going to be an exciting field. And as much as my heart goes out to Florida State and it's upsetting, I don't think it would have been that compelling had the Noles been in one of these games.
Now, the last thing I want to get to, I mentioned, you know, we had the BCS from 98 through 2013, mm-hmm. college football since 2014. So kind of a hypothetical. If they made you, Taylor, the goddess of college football, and you had a choice, two-team BCS, four-team playoff, or where we're going with 12, what would be your preference to determine our national champ?
Oh, I am all for the expansion. I think 4-12 was kind of a big jump. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't really expecting that they were going to go that big. But I do think that so often you see several teams sitting right there on the bubble with very compelling arguments. And as we continue to see conference realignment, I also think that those arguments get a little sticky because you have to look at strength of schedule, strength of conference. But how do we really gauge the strength of a conference when we're welcoming in new members and they have to get established into the current structure of that respective conference? So I think there's an element of reevaluation that we're having to do every year the more some of this changes. The transfer portal has added a layer to that as well because you literally can flip an entire team's identity in one off season. So I think the only answer is expansion. Now, what's going to be ridiculous is this time next year when the 13th team in the nation is claiming they got gypped. But I definitely think that it's going to add into some really intriguing matchups that truly test a team's strength. Because I'm sorry, some of these schedules, even though it's, you know, you've got an undefeated record at the end, I would argue that half of your opponents were not the same caliber as the 1-3 teams. So I think if we expand this thing, let them duke it out at the end, winner takes all, that's really the only way we're truly going to feel like we have done this the best, and we eliminate a little bit of the opinion-based and the room for bias and error, which I do think still exists.
Wow, logic and common sense. Taylor, I didn't even realize there was room for that in college football. Folks, she's Taylor Davis, kind enough to join us with her time and enhance our radio show with her info and insight. She brings you Believe in Everything Auburn as part of the terrific Believe Network. On Twitter, the handle is at Taylor Beth Davis. Well, it's not TBD, it's decided. It's been great having you. You like what you see what I did there? You appreciate that?
I love it.
Listen, Taylor, wishing you and yours a wonderful holiday. Be well, and I hope we can talk again down the road.
Thank you so much. Same to you, and I appreciate you having me. I'll be back anytime.
All right. Take care, Taylor. There you go. Taylor Davis, what a great talk there. That was a lot of fun.